My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Amen. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. Tough words, huh? But the king shall rejoice in God. Amen. We're kings and priests in him. We rejoice in God because of his righteousness, not because we're so good. He paid for our righteousness in blood. So before we get all cocky here, and, oh yeah, we're a king's kid, humble yourself and say, thank you, Lord. I'm your righteousness because of what you've done. So everyone who swears by him shall glory. Amen. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. So anyone that tells you you're not his righteousness and that he doesn't love you because of your past, or you're a loser, you don't have a future, you can politely push all that aside with all humbleness and lift your hands and receive his loving kindness for you today. So whatever you need to do to receive that, just receive it and be blessed. Amen. He loves us. So that's good. That's the word of God. Amen. That was not written by Becca. That was written by the Holy Spirit through Psalms, through David. So go ahead. Give God praise. Amen. Praise him. Amen. That's right. Amen. I have not practiced as much as I wanted to. Okay, so bear with me, but I'm going to sing it and be blessed. Amen.
Thank you.
I will sing. Share a quick testimony. A few months back, I was having really bad lower back pain. I found out my hip was about an inch and a half apart. That's a lot, and that really hurts. I'm sure people have worse things, but you know, it hurts. And I wasn't I was just thanking God for my healing. And I just day by day, where are you going, Malachi? Come here. So anyway, God touched my back. He adjusted my back for about 2 hours. True story. If you don't believe it, I'm sorry. It really happened. I'm not lying, I promise. It was awesome. He didn't like knock me over, and it wasn't weird. It was actually very relaxing. It felt like the best chiropractic appointment I've ever been to in my life. So Jesus, literally, my body just started. I felt movement and like somebody's hand was just going in, like, and so my hips got a little off kilter a few weeks back, and I was actually getting ready to go, or I was winding down for the night, and the boys were hanging out with their dad, and I started just praying in tongues and thanking God for the day. I wasn't really asking him to heal me, and for 3 hours, my whole from head to toe was just readjusted again. And so that was a couple weeks back. So I am, those who are here, I'm continually being healed. So I love this song. I wrote this song years ago. God healed me from a severe thyroid disease, severe. I'm not on any medications. It happened years ago. So if you're doubting that you're good enough to be healed or you're good enough to receive anything from God, let those doubts just kind of melt away this morning. Amen. I was not going to talk, I promise. Amen. That's right. Malachi knows. We talk about this stuff. He knows. He knows. Amen. He's not just trying to be cute. He knows. I mean, he is cute. He doesn't have to try. But so if you're struggling, you know, could I receive? I'm just an awful person. Or maybe you're a really successful person and you feel like you've had a lot of successes and you just can't be good enough for God and you're always reaching. Just stay where you're at and receive God's healing. Receive his blessing for your life today and open your hearts for this wonderful word. Amen. Whether it comes through Chad or Pastor Lee or whatever, it's the Holy Spirit. So come on up, Mr. Chad. Thank you, Pastor Chad. Amen.
Yeah, Becca's written a lot of songs that could be sung in worship services around the world. Thank you, Becca.
You're welcome.
And I was thinking about her ministry or her miracle with her thyroid, and was hoping she'd mention that and how God had healed her. Simply believing, and one day said, "I don't need my medicine anymore." She made that decision. No one pushed it on her, and never took it again. If I remember right, Becca. So I brought a lot of stuff up today that might mean we're going to go extra long. Is that okay? But I do have a couple of Christian commercials before we get started today. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Yeah. Pastor Lee will be back next week, so don't worry. But you know, I feel those who've been praying for me today, thank you, because I feel relaxed. Right? So regardless of the vessel, God can really encourage and speak to us this morning, can't he? He will. Starting with that song Becca sung. Let the Lord speak to you today. Strengthen you. Strengthen you. As I'm speaking today, I just encourage you right now, start thinking of something you need in your life. It could be a miracle. We're going to talk about that as we're going to go through one scripture, and we're going to break it down. I was going to talk about Elisha today. You know how Pastor says he had something on Elisha? And I thought, well, I'm on the right track because I have something about Elisha. Yeah. But right in the middle of the week, the scripture I started about, I couldn't get past. I kept reading it, line upon line. I couldn't get past it, so I knew God wanted me to stick right there. So as I read it 100 times, and the God started just opening the scripture up to me, what it means for the believer today. Amen? Amen. So anyway, want to mention these. I have this shirt on today. I love it. My friend Andy Aponte makes these free of charge. He hands them out free. He's literally gave tens of thousands of these shirts away. I think I mentioned he was somewhere in another state like Illinois or Indiana. He was getting off some boat and he saw one of these shirts on somebody. So out there in the foyer, there's different sizes. If you want one, grab one. This one says, prayer changes things. Thank you, Jesus. Mine says, prayer changes things. Looks like I'm right on the cusp of starting to squeal. I hope that doesn't happen. Seems like I'm pretty loud. And then also wanted to mention Becky Davis. Remember we had written a letter and signed a letter to the president? You guys remember that? Well, we got a response. I'm not sure if the president signed it himself. I can't tell who signed that. So it says, Dear Miss Davis and friends, thank you for your generous words of encouragement and your prayers. From the president's office, right? The firm resolve of the American people to face challenges boldly is a great blessing to our country. Amen, right? Amen. Our nation is experiencing a new tide of optimism. It didn't say pessimism, it said optimism, right? And renewed faith in the American dream. I'm going to say in the new faith in Jesus Christ. Because that is the foundation of the American dream, amen? I remain confident that together with trust in God, we will continue to build a stronger and a more prosperous country for future generations. I appreciate you taking the time to write. Your support means a great deal to Melania, I'm sorry, and me, sincerely, says President Trump. And then we wanted to also, in the foyer, there's going to be another card because, you know, we're praying for the president with this coronavirus that he has. He's contracted. I hear that he's doing great, right? Let's continue to pray for him and others around him and his staff. So it says, we will certainly care for you, thinking of you, praying for you. God bless, his hand be upon you. So we're going to sign that and send that. How's that sound? And then one thing also Becky Davis put together, this is like a God's special possession. This is a bag that for items for people you might want to give that's free, that are in need. It's not money, but it's got like shampoo, toothbrush, soap, deodorant, chapstick, lotion, razor, socks, granola bars, and some other snacks. If you know somebody might be in need, or if you want to find somebody, grab a couple of these after the service, amen? There's still people in need out there. You know, a gift in love can make a huge difference in somebody's life, can it not? Amen, amen. So thank you for listening to that. So today I want to speak. I have a title for my message. It's called, Do You Love Instruction? Do you love instruction? You may hear that and say, well, is that, you know, we take instruction. One thing I've realized as I was, and it's from a particular scripture that we'll look at, is we can think of instruction as criticism, right? You've heard that term, constructive criticism. I just hear the word criticism. I don't hear constructive. And I think sometimes when we look at the Bible, depending on the lenses, the experiences in life, we can look at his word as criticism. We can look at it wrong, but actually the word of God really is instruction for our lives. Matter of fact, I believe before the as I was mentioning in prayer this morning, for the Church of Jesus Christ to really come into revival, I think we need to have a refreshed love and renewed commitment to the Word of God. To the Word of God. I was mentioning how when a couple of years ago, when I was teaching our Bible school here, I taught on Christian theology. And I'm going to read a little bit from that, just a little bit. Christian theology. And we showed a short film. I won't do it this morning, but just to mention, a short film on the underground church in China receiving Bibles. You'd never seen anything like it. They were taking that Bible, they were holding it, caressing it, just so appreciative to get. It's like this was the most, you'd think that somebody would give them a wheelbarrow full of gold. They were taking it and they were just, man, as the church there would take little, maybe get a page of a scripture. It was in their language and they'd have to memorize it, maybe pass it along to it. They said, we got Bibles. It was impactful. It was really impactful. They've got some instruction from God. Not criticism, instruction. Remember, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of ourselves, right? It's a gift of God. Talking about salvation, but as we move forward to being successful as a born-again believer, we've got to be open to instruction. The church, if anything, needs today, needs to have a new commitment to God's instruction in our life. Amen? So the scripture I'm going to start with is Romans 15:4 in the Amplified Version. I love sometimes the Amplified Version, how it kind of extrapolates and explains something. So it says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, as we delve into your word, we thank you for open hearts. We thank you for speaking to each individual. Lord, we thank you for instruction this morning. Your word, the living word of God, he who lives in us, Father God, taking the word and speaking to our hearts this morning. Father, we thank you for instruction this morning that will deliver people from depression in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we thank you for instruction today that will set people on a different path, a little alignment in their heart, a little change, something that will take them a whole different direction than what they may be this morning. Father, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you for the instruction of the word that saves the soul, that delivers the soul, that makes the soul productive, that makes the soul liberated. In today's world, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So I want to mention from that Romans 15:4 in the Amplified Version, the first thing it says, for whatever was written in earlier times, what was in earlier times? Wasn't it the Old Testament? So I've come to realize that with being saved by grace, not under the law, not trying to follow the law, but the Old Testament, whether Proverbs, right, whether the Psalms, whether stories, or I shouldn't say stories, accounts of God's deliverance of Israel, that when I look at that with grace, with his grace, boy, I can pull out so much, glean so much good things, so many promises, so much instruction for my life. So understanding this, this was written for our instruction. Now, it wasn't written for the world. We know the world. Well, we got to realize the world. We can't get them to go along and say, yeah, I like that Bible. We want to base our life upon that. We want to base our government upon it. Mind you that it was for our instruction, the believer. We can expect the world to scoff at that. I think with, you know, depending on what we feed our mind, is Hollywood a friend of Jesus or Christ? But I think their narrative, the propaganda through years and years and years that maybe we've seen or played in our mind, I wonder sometimes without realizing it, maybe we've come a little bit skeptic of God's instruction. It's easy to do. I've had to look at my heart and say, Lord, do I value your word anymore? Am I basing my life on this? Lord, how are we going to have a revival with the Christian church if this doesn't even have a lot of value? Talking about the word of God. Amen? The Word of God comes, you can, by the way, the Word of God is can be read or consumed in so many different ways. Here's my Bible I've had since 1986. A little beat up, kind of like I have been since 1986. But the Lord's been faithful. Amen. So I got this Bible, I think it was a year before I got married, so this Bible's 34 years old. A little tore up. A lot of scriptures have been underlined. Still have that. I consume the Word of God like that. Today you can consume the Word of God like through a, I use this a lot, my iPad, because not only the Word of God, but I can get Greek meanings, Hebrew meanings. I can really search at a much quicker pace than I could 10 years ago. So the consuming the Word of God comes in different forms today. On my phone, I have my Bible. On my computer, my laptop, and so forth. So the Scripture comes in different forms today, huh? Modern day. Amen. So one thing I want to mention on that instruction. What does instruction mean, by the way? Because we talked about we can take that as criticism. But instruction actually means doctrine. Our doctrine. For our learning, and it's for teaching. But the Word of God, even the Old Testament, and then now obviously the New Testament, is for teaching, for learning, for our doctrine. I think about doctrine, and the doctrine really is what we believe, is what's the core of the believer's life. What is our core beliefs? I love what Andrew Walmeck wrote in his Christian philosophy. I just want to read the first paragraph from Chapter 1 of Christian philosophy. It says, everyone has a philosophy. Everyone has a philosophy. Whether you realize it or not, a philosophy is simply the basic set of ideas, beliefs, and values that you live by. It's your outlook or the filter through which you view life. Every piece of information that comes to you in every situation you face is filtered through your philosophy. In a sense, your philosophy predetermines your response to the things happening around you and the results you see in life. Yet many people are unaware of their philosophy. They have never combined their separate beliefs into a single value system through which they view the world and interpret life. That's from instruction. Instruction from parents. Instruction from teachers. Instructions from big brothers, big sisters, your friends. Those things that kind of form our philosophy in life. And then we have this instruction from the Word of God that comes along and hopefully challenges us. Amen. But one thing, this has to be precious. This has to become precious to us. Amen. This is the lifeblood of the Church of Jesus Christ, is the Word of God. Through the implementation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Where it becomes a part of us. So I want to look at five different things before we leave today from this one scripture. So I want to talk about first about this instruction. We understand the instruction is for our interpretation, but what does it say in the Amplified version of 1 Corinthians 1:18? It says, for the message of the cross. Where do we get the message of the cross? Isn't it the Word of God? Amen. For the message of the cross is foolishness, absurd, and illogical to those who are perishing and spiritually dead, because they reject it. But to us who are being saved by God's grace, amen, how about being saved by God's grace? It is the manifestation of the power of God. So we got to understand this first thing, and this instruction is powerful. It's not a list that we put together in our lives and saying, if I do this and do that, I'll get this result. Now, it is instruction, but what is by the power and grace of God that the Word of God implemented in our life makes a change. It changes a person that had no hope, amen? It changes the person who had everything in the world but realizes, what's it a profit of man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Simple instruction. We know that it's God's grace that's powerful. So the thing is living and active. The Word of God is living and active. So this instruction, this Word that needs to become more precious in the church's life, I think, is what's going to change America. Amen? I think it's the Word of God that changes America. It won't be the Republican Party. It won't be the Democratic Party. It's going to be the Word of God. The declaration of the Word of God in this day and age. Understanding there are going to be those who say it's foolishness. It's just the way it is. That's what Paul said when Paul was preaching in Corinthians. It was foolishness to many who were there. But to the few who believed it, it was the power of God that saved their souls. Amen? The foolish things of this world, confounding the wise. Amen. How about, I like Proverbs 1:7, it says, "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." That fear of the Lord means, I know without a doubt there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way of salvation. I won't dare let my heart be convinced or stray from that one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I have that reverence and that fear, God. Lord, don't let me ever listen or stray from your word. Don't let me believe things that are lies, untruths. Do we hear untruths in the media today? Do we hear untruths from Hollywood today? Yes, those things that I might consume during the day. Lord, don't let those things attach or become part of my philosophy. Let it be rooted and grounded in the word of God. Amen? Yes. Then it says, fools despise wisdom in what? In instruction. As we go through this, let me ask you, do you love instruction? You love the instruction of his word? I had to ask myself this week, Lord, is your word precious to me? Is it my foundation? Is it where I'm going when I'm struggling? Is it where I stay when times are good? Lord, thank you for making your word through the anointing of the Holy Spirit the foundation, the philosophy of my life. Amen. John 5:37, New American Standard says, it's not instruction in the fleshly intellect, since that changes us. How do we know that? Well, what it says here in the, Jesus said, search the scripture, John 5:37, because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify of me. So the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were definitely, what, in the scripture. They had the scripture in front of them all day, but they were looking what? They weren't looking at the right thing. They weren't looking. When Jesus came, they didn't see it at all. They knew the scripture. They memorized the scripture. They made their lives about the Bible. But when the Savior came, they couldn't see it. So what Jesus said to them, he says, because you claim to see, talking to the Pharisees, your blindness remains. So it's not just looking at the scripture. It's realizing that through Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit, that instruction becomes life to us. It's not just a reading or dedication to the scripture that changes us. We know that from the Pharisees who killed Jesus. It was the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Jews of the day who knew the word of God, but they could not see him in the scripture. So I'm saying today, this morning, that when we're reading the scripture, we're to see him, a person, not a set of ideals. The instructions are a person. Loving the instructions. Sometimes I don't like instructions. I'll get something in the mail, and I've got to put it together, and I look at the instructions. I set them aside for a minute. I said, I got this. I can figure this out. Then I might put it together, and if I get one or two things wrong, but everything else is good, I'm okay. Right? Nobody will notice. I think sometimes with the word we can do that too. We can kind of just get a little bit, just get enough instruction in our life that we can kind of hobble along. It's okay. I don't really need to read those instructions. I know enough about those instructions. But a few things remain broken. Maybe a few things aren't right still. But they're there in front of us. You love this instruction this morning? Father, we thank you again for your instruction, the instruction of your word. So number one is instruction, it says there. Written for the believer. The next thing it talks about there is it says so that through endurance. Boy, is endurance powerful. But you never get to the endurance part if you don't have the instruction part of it. It's through the instruction thing we go to the next thing that we'll see here is endurance. And James 1:4 says, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete. Are we talking about perfect, like we never make a mistake? No, means that we're if you're following him, trusting him, we're perfect in his sight. And the things that he's working in your life through endurance will have a perfect result in Jesus Christ. What he wants, where he's leading us and directing us, is going to have a perfect result. By the way, perfect in the Greek is teleos. It means growth. We're talking about what perfect means. It means growth. It means mental growth, understanding His word, capacity. It means maturity. It also means moral character. There's nothing wrong with moral character, guys. As we're growing in God by His grace, moral character becomes part of our life. Honesty, integrity, sexual integrity. Amen? Not following the script or the instructions of Hollywood, but the Word of God. Can I get an amen? Get a thumbs up like on Instagram? Is it Instagram? I don't know. Maybe it's Facebook. I don't know. I think it's a heart on Instagram. I can't remember. So we know this perfect result is growth in our lives. Character. It says perfect come a full age. He's growing us up in Him. Amen. He doesn't save us and leave us where we're at. His instructions, His manual, His living word is to what? Lead us into maturity. Lead us into strength. But first we got to love His instruction. And that leads to a time of endurance. Endurance. I was speaking this morning, I think of endurance, I think of being on a hiking trail. I don't really like hiking long trails. I don't mind, I like maybe the Thumb Butte Loop is my max. But people go on long hikes, and to me it eventually starts feeling like survival mode. You ever done that? I don't like that. There's no more fun when I feel like I'm just, can I make this hike? I'm cramping up, right? I'm tired. I didn't bring enough water. I'm getting sunburnt. It's hot out here, whatever the case is. The ground, it's shifting. I was walking some property. It was only 7 acres, but the ground was so shifting, and it was hard to keep my balance and not fall down, that when I got done walking the 7 acres, at the time I was going up the hill to get back where I started, I said, can I make this? So we think of endurance as maybe a survival mode. And I think when we hear the word of God, the instruction in His manual, we think that, am I going to make it? Can I just endure? I'm going to tell you, with Him, with His instructions, it's not meant to be that way. He strengthens us. Those that wait upon the Lord will see. They renew their strength. What does it say? Those that wait, those endure, those who don't give up. I wonder how many people, because they don't know the instructions, or they're not taught or mentored correctly, that they give up right at that point of our next step we'll talk about, right there. But they give up. If you're here this morning and you have that feeling of giving up, let me tell you, don't give up. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to help you. It's the enemy that wants you to give up. He's the one that wants to tell you you don't have the endurance to do it. You can't make it. But that is an absolute lie. Amen? How do I know? Because His instructions tell me that. Endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete. We talked about that. Lacking in nothing. Do you know why you're enduring that through His word? You're not lacking anything. He's forming you. He's making you. He's doing something in you. Don't give up. When it's difficult, don't let the enemy say, I'm not with you, that God's not with you. He's forsaken you. Don't believe that lie. What you're going through right now is enduring. It's scriptural. It's in the instruction manual. There'll be times we're feeling like we're enduring, but the instructions also tell us don't give up. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? If you find you're in a position right now where you're enduring, let me just say that He's still with you. He hasn't forsaken you. You may be thinking, what have I done wrong? Well, if you have, just ask Him. Say, Lord, what have I done? Is there something, anytime I face trouble, the first thing I say, is there anything I need to change? Because I know He's faithful and perfect. But we live in an imperfect world, and sometimes it's just the way it is. But the first thing I say, Lord, is there anything I need to do differently here? Or what can I learn? If I'm going through a time where a struggle in a situation, in my family, at work, wherever it is, first thing I've learned to say from the instruction manuals, Lord, is there anything I need to do differently? Amen. For you have need of endurance. Here's another scripture from Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. The will of God is just, Lord, I'm relying on you. I'm not giving up. I wonder sometimes the things that God speaks to our hearts that are deep in our heart, promises, for our lives, for provision, for dreams and visions. God, he speaks to each individual. He lives in us. Man, he's the creator of heaven and earth. He lives in us. How can he not make us for purpose? But I think that perfect work is, Lord, I'm not giving up on you. You're going to do that. You're going to do that work in me. I think of examples of not giving up. How about Abraham? He got that promise of what? Your seed, right? The seed of Abraham. Did he have to endure before he had Isaac? Right? How old was he when he had? Was he like 100 years old? His wife was 90-something? Before they had the promise, God promised he would be a great nation. Do you think Abraham had to endure? But did that promise come to pass? What I love about Abraham is even he made some mistakes like, I'm tired of waiting, I'm tired of enduring, I'm going to work this out myself, right? And then we had an Ishmael, right, Ishmael? Yeah. If you read that scripture, wasn't God still tender and kind to Ishmael and his mother? Yeah. But even though he had gotten off the right track, he still trusted God, and God brought about the promise. How about King David? I love the story. I love King David because he was a man of God, right? He made some horrible mistakes. Man, did he make some terrible mistakes. But he still trusted God. I think about when he was anointed king of Israel. He was anointed king of Israel. And then he went through a time where Saul, who he was there to serve, is chasing him, trying to kill him. Trying to kill him. What heartbreak that must have been to David. And for David not to take things into his own hand, had plenty of opportunities to kill Saul, but left it in God's hands. What did he do? Did he endure? Did he trust God? Other times where his men that were following him were wanting to stone him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. He endured. He didn't give up. Amen? And what God brought about what? Well, through David's seed, we had Jesus, the son of, what did they call Jesus when he was walking the earth? Jesus, son of David. Isn't that powerful? What would that story look like if David hadn't endured? Amen. I thought this was really interesting, talking about endurance. I love, who's considered the greatest president of all time? Did I hear Abraham Lincoln? I love this list I have, talking about enduring. A list of Abraham Lincoln's failures. If you haven't heard, some of you probably already know this, but some of them I didn't realize or hadn't remembered for many years. I just want to read these things. Lost his job in 1832. Defeated for legislature, 1832. Failed in business, 1833. He was elected to the legislature in 1834. His sweetheart, Ann Rutledge, died in 1835. Had his first nervous breakdown in 1836. How about Abraham Lincoln? Defeated for Speaker of the House, 1838. Had another nervous breakdown in 1841. Man. Yeah. Defeated for nomination for Congress, 1843. Elected to Congress in 1846. Lost renomination in 1848. Rejected for land officer in 1849. Defeated for Senate in 1854. Defeated for nomination for vice president in 1856. Again defeated for Senate in 1858. Wow. And then elected for president in 1860. Did he endure? You never know which we're going through in your life right now, what God has on the other side. What if Lincoln had given up? Did he have plenty of opportunity to give up? Should he maybe in the natural just said, hey, I'm not cut out for this. I'm going to find something else to do. Obviously, it's not working out. I wasn't made for politics. I've had a little bit of success, but a whole lot of defeat. But something inside him said what? Keep going. And if you read about Abraham Lincoln, he loved the instructions. He loved the Word of God. Something in him was bigger, was driving him than his weaknesses and his defeats. Amen. Endurance. Amen. I love that scripture in Isaiah 40:31. It says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. How about you? Lord, thank you this morning that we're trusting in you. We have endurance. Lord, your word says to endure because good things are coming. The enemy says, oh, this is never going to change. This country's never going to change. You're never going to change. Your situation has never changed. But hey, today we're saying we're not going to believe that. Lord, we're enduring in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Good things are coming for those who wait upon the Lord. Amen? I have to raise my voice every once in a while because I know when Pastor Lee does that, it wakes people up. And I notice it worked. Amen. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Amen. They will mount up with wings like eagles. Can you imagine that? Mount up with wings. Think of that in your mind. Thank you, Lord, that we will mount up with wings like eagles. We will run and not get tired. We will endure and not give up and get tired in the name of Jesus. They will walk and not become weary. That's the promise of God. You can endure. He's with you. He's strengthening you during this time. Whatever you might be facing. The instructions. Look to him. Look to the instructions. Don't look to what the world will tell you you got to do. Amen? Look to the instructions. To him who made us. And those instructions, just a reminder, are just for us. The world's going to reject it. Don't let that bother you. When you hear Hollywood rejects it, don't let that come into your soul. Other people start saying that's nonsense. Well, know what they're saying is nonsense because it says the fool says in his heart there is no God. They're the foolish. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I love 2 Timothy 4:3. It's just an interesting scripture from 2 Timothy 4:3, the New American Standard Version. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Lord, we're tired of waiting. This doesn't fit our narrative. It doesn't work. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And really it has to come with, I'm tired of enduring. This isn't working out. But we're going to change the set of instructions. The instructions that come from the Word of God, we want to make a tweak to them to fit our own narrative. Amen. We don't want to be those, Lord. We don't want to be those, Lord. We want to stick with what you have as you speak with us, knowing that even when it's difficult, Lord, we're not going to change the narrative. We're not going to change the Word of God. We're not going to change what your word says. Lord, we're not going to allow ourselves to be deceived. Amen? Or we're going to stick with your word. We're going to stick with the instructions you gave us. So we have that. We have the instructions. We have the endurance. And you know, when you stick with that endurance, you know what the next thing it says comes? The encouragement. The encouragement. Like I mentioned, sometimes people, during that process of endurance in a difficult time, they don't wait for that encouragement because it says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen? So dictionary, I like that dictionary. I like looking at the dictionary sometimes. Because sometimes we see words or hear words and we have maybe each person has a little bit different idea in their mind what they mean, but confidence means full trust. Full trust. Belief in the powers, but we know, let's put it this way, belief in the power, the Holy Spirit, right? That is the power in our lives. Trustworthiness, talking about confidence, or reliability of a person or thing, assurance, certainty, courage, determination, morale, poise, tenacity. Who loves tenacity? We love seeing tenacity in people. Boldness, brashness. I think a brashness is bragging on him, bragging on his word, being brash for the Lord. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one that's going to lead and guide me. He's the one that's going to get me through this. He's the one that's directing my life. I'm going to be brash for Jesus, declaring his word over my life. Amen? and resolute, firm. So that was the confidence. And what's the opposite? The antonyms for confidence. See if you've ever experienced some of these in your life. Doubt. Do the things that are the opposite of confidence. Fear. Hesitation. Uncertainty. Weakness. Cowardice. Ow. Don't be that. Timidity. Apprehension. Distrust. Unconfident. So those things that are opposite. Who wants us to walk in that opposite? Who? Satan, right? The opposite of those confidence. So as we learn through strength is encouragement, we become strong. So be strong. Encouragement number three, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is one who goes before you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Amen. So as we're walking in his instructions, growing in him. Amen. As we're enduring, then comes the encouragement. And it says, and let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Knowing that he's with us, amen. Knowing that he's leading and guiding us in 2020, 2021, no matter how much uncertainty there is in the economy, who's going to lead and guide me? What's the instructions say? He's going to provide for me. It doesn't matter what Fox Business News says, CNBC says. What's the instructions say about providing for me? It's the year of Jubilee for me. How about you? Leading and guiding me, because his word declares that. I'm not going to listen to that narrative of the world. My philosophy, rooted and grounded in him, says, Lord, you're going to lead and guide me. Amen. That was encouragement. Confidence, I got a little bit ahead of myself. That was the one with, we talked about his power and his strength in us. So once we have that encouragement, we have his confidence. I love Hebrew 10:35 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. What does the great reward talk about? Let me go back to that first scripture that we started with. It says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, encouragement in our instruction manual, we might have hope and overflow with confidence in what? In what I have in his promises, in the Amplified Version, in his promises. So we have that one. Number one, we have instructions. Number two, endurance. Number three, encouragement. Number four, confidence, which leads to his promises. Walking in his promises. This confidence isn't in ourselves, but in him. Let me ask you, do you have confidence in him, saints? Have you given any, by the way, have you given any thoughts to his promises lately? You know, there's sometimes it says, because we can get carried away with life, the stresses of life, living life. I'm guilty of this and not even think about his promises. Scratching, trying to figure out that problem, get just immersed in my work, immersed in what's going on at home. All of a sudden I'm stressed and everything, and I haven't even given any thought to his promises. One thing is we get that encouragement, we have that confidence, then what? Then we start walking with confidence in what? Promises. The promises of God are what? Yes and amen. Sometimes we can get spiritual amnesia. I just forget about his promises. They don't even come to my mind. The instruction manual now seems to be something I don't go to because I'm in the middle of my stress. You ever been in stress, or you've seen people in stress and you can't even think clearly? You can't even think clearly. I think about the scriptures. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Is that a promise? Sometimes we can hear that, but it's just like, yeah, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But when we have his confidence, as we're walking with him in his word, it becomes life to us, and he strengthens us. Amen? Let me do this. I want to encourage you. This week, I encourage you this week to find one scripture, maybe a promise in the Bible, to apply to an area of your life that you're struggling with right now. Can I challenge you on that? Is that okay? Can I do that here? Not something where you, if I walk this, I'll get something from God. But in your endurance and you getting confidence walking with Him, just one promise that you can apply to the situation in your life. It could be work related, relational related, whatever, a struggle in your life. Find one thing that this week that you can take from the Word and say, God, these are promises. The promises of God are yes and so be it. Amen. Lord, thank you for that. A couple of things that just before we, and we're going to wrap this up, is I was just thinking of a few things, talking about instruction or promises and truths in the Bible. The Bible covers a lot of different areas. Something for anything we're going through in our lives. Is that true? Yeah. Do you believe that? So I was thinking, what does the Word instruct us on? Giving and tithing, marriage, sex. Have you ever read the book of the Song of Solomon? If they tried to make a movie out of that, it'd be rated X. Sorry. You want to spice up your marriage, I said marriage, read the book of Song of Solomon with your wife. That's all I'm saying. Investing, business, friendship, homosexuality, talents and gifting, addiction, forgiveness, bitterness, resentment, desires of the heart, faith, hope, love, suffering, sickness, healing, end of the world, beginning of the world, how to raise children, final judgment, new world order, church government, anger management, how to pray, how not to pray, fasting, eating, intellect, the weather, scarcity, abundance, mourning, celebrating, heaven, hell, exercise, laziness, diligence, dreams, visions, astronomy, and on and on and on. The Word of God. Well, one of those things in there you might be able to, Daryl. One of those things you could apply to your life. Right? What I'm saying is, Lord, your instruction manual has something for us and for everything in our life. Let me just say this again in this scripture. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Number one for our instruction. Trusting His Word. Amen. Make it, Lord, let the Word of God be precious in our hearts again. Amen. I think a revival in the church is coming back, that the Word of God is true. There's no error. Amen. It's not an addition to our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the center of our life. Amen. Through realizing that, we go to endurance through His instructions. Father, we can endure. Are you in a place right now of enduring, having to endure, trusting His Word, knowing that He'll never leave you nor forsake you? Enduring leads to His encouragement through His Word, because it says in here, encouragement through the Scriptures, looking to the instructions. Amen. Hanging in there. Lord, it's funny how we could be going through a difficult time, and when we hang in there, out of nowhere, the encouragement through a scripture, through a brother and sister, God will bring encouragement. Have you experienced that before? Remind yourself this morning that encouragement is on the way. And then once we have that encouragement, the next thing is confidence. Man, He's with me. He strengthened me. He did not forsake me. And then when we have that confidence, the next thing is we can really implement and trust and believe His promises. Can the worship team come up now? Can we stand up together? Amen. You're like, are we getting out of church already? Amen. Father, we love You this morning. Can we lift our hands? Do you love His instruction in your life? Lord, I want to receive instruction from You in areas of my life again. Not out of so You'll accept me, because I'm already accepted. It's like a father or mother that loves their children. They give instruction, don't they? But they do that because they love them. Lord, areas that maybe we need to change in our lives, Father God. We just ask you, speak to our hearts, strengthen us this morning in Jesus' name. We thank you for the word of God, afresh and anew as fire in our souls. Your word is like, what did Jeremiah say? Your word is like fire shut up in my bones. Today, amen. Even so more today, as His Holy Spirit used to come upon prophets, but now His Holy Spirit in us lives in us today. Father, we thank you for fire that is shut up in our bones in Jesus' name. Strengthen us, burning dross out, bringing us alive unto you, Father God, not becoming weary. In well-doing, mean trusting you, enduring, Father God. We thank you for the endurance, Lord, that we will not grow weary. If you've been weary, just receive His strength and say, Lord, I will not grow weary. I'm going to look to your instruction manual through eyes of love, amen? That you've already accepted me. I'm born again, blood-washed, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, testifying, hymn-singing, whatever it is. We thank you, Father, for that instruction in our lives this morning. Lord, we thank you for a renewal of the Word of God in America today. Father, in Jesus' name, a renewal of the Word of God, Father God. To be doers of the Word through your grace, Father God. The instruction manual becoming life again as you lead and direct. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, Father God. We thank you for leading and guiding us, Father God. We thank you, Father God, your Word in our ear saying go this way or that way. Or sometimes the Word saying just stay put.
Yes.
It's hard for us as humans sometimes to stay put. We always want to be doing something. But maybe your instructions are saying, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Father, we wait upon you, Father, for leading us. We thank you for a fresh fire shut up in our bones. We thank you, Father God, for your giftings and callings in our lives, Father. As we trust in you coming forth, Father God. We're not going to give up or give in. We're not going to in our mentally say, it didn't work. Sometimes we can be born again, trusting Him, but areas of our life we've already given up on. Maybe nobody knows about it. We become discouraged in that area. We kind of just forget about it. Maybe this morning for you, it's something the Lord brought to your mind that you need to, again, rekindle that. Visit that again. That area of discouragement. Go to His Word. Endure. Let Him give you confidence and encouragement today and then, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. Areas that have been discouraged, so we've kind of given up on it. You ever been there? Hello, I have. We thank you for again bringing those to life, God. I love that saying I said before. God has not called us to cope. He's called us to conquer. Who's a conqueror in His house? Say, Lord, I'm full of conquerors. Father, we thank you for being conquerors through the Word of God. Conquerors through your Holy Spirit. A fresh commitment and love for your instruction, your Word. Do you believe that today? Father, we thank you again for what you've done in our midst. We worship you and honor you. We thank you for this week, a reminder, Lord. Maybe just a picking out a scripture, looking for a scripture to apply in an area of your life, a promise, and say, Lord, I'm going to grab hold of this promise while I endure. Name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to dismiss. Amen. Thank you for being here today.
you all. Amen.